Today we're going to talk to you about training high school educators to teach 21st century skills through public health and a little bit about building that public health career pipeline. We have no financial disclosures. And basically what we're going to cover is we're going to talk to you about why we think it's important to connect with high school educators. Two of the strategies we use for doing this, one is the Mentoring Organization Registry, and another is Educator Workshops. And then we're going to go into more detail about the workshop. This one in particular was funded by a grant by ASTO through the Connecticut Department of Public Health, and we subcontracted with the Connecticut Public Health Association to put that on. And then we'll tell you a little bit about lessons learned.
As long as I'm on the wrong slide, I'll just tell you that I'm actually a consultant. I don't like to work for, you know, three full-time jobs, so I just wanted to straighten that out. That's okay. So why do we connect with high school educators? Basically, it's a quick and easy way to reach a lot of kids. We want to improve health equity through education, and I think that we all know that if we start when kids are seniors in high school, it's just not going to do it. So you have to start early. We want to address the impending shortage of public health workers, so we need to prepare them in plenty of time so that they can take the courses they need to pursue a public health career. It helps to diversify the public health workforce, and it also prepares tomorrow's public health professionals with 21st century skills, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Which one am I? This one? Okay. I'm a Mac person. So how do we connect with high schools? I should say that when you look at the high school dropout rate, it's much higher for Latinos and for African Americans, as you can see on this slide. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is they have very limited career counselors. It's not like when you go to a private school or a suburban school. In California, it's unbelievable. For every one high school kid, one counselor, there are 471 kids that counselor has to supervise, so they don't get a whole lot of career counseling. We focus on culturally diverse communities by going to our mentoring organization registry. And they are public health ambassadors. They go into the schools. We can't do it by ourselves.
So one of the strategies for connecting is for us to recruit the public health mentors, for them to be able to go into the schools and talk to the teachers and the students about public health and public health careers. The way we chose to do this is to work through the Connecticut Public Health Association. And I think that's been a very beneficial collaboration. They're a nonprofit. They're able to do things that, say, for example, a state public health agency can't do. They have a little bit more flexibility. They can move a lot of resources in an easier way. So I think in terms of our state workforce development efforts, that's been a very good thing. The Connecticut's more right now, we have actually worked up to 24 public health organizations. And the picture at the right, I just want to mention, that is one of our more members working from the Yale School of Public Health, and she's teaching public health preparedness to a group of students. So that's the Moore in action. And this, I'm just going to jump over this quickly. These are the members. They're also on your bookmark on the back, so you can look at those. And then in terms of further recruiting the Moore members, we thought it was very important that our Moore members were trained and that they had the tools they needed to be successful once they went into the schools. So lo and behold, Yale actually got a grant that was very timely, and they were able to work with Cindy, and we also have a colleague in the audience that also helped on this, to build a toolkit and just a fabulous presentation that really prepared them. So it provided the Moore with the tools to go into those schools, and they're able to do these things you see up on the screen, you know, spend an hour of their time, spend 2 hours. They can choose what kind of activities fit their schedule.
So the second part, I just want to say that for this project, the important thing about having the mentoring organization registry is, in order to introduce teachers to public health, you know how hard it is to describe public health? You have to take them into the public health workplace and show them what public health is all about. So we needed our mentoring organization registry members to open their doors and introduce the teachers and students to public health in the real world. So our second strategy is to recruit educators. They all need to have CEUs. So they have days that are put aside when they have professional development. The nice thing about this is actually that there are grants and there are funds that schools have to pay us to come in to do workshops. So it's good for us and it's good for them. What we did is we designed a teacher workshop with classroom-ready materials. We would put them on a flash drive so when we left, they would remember us. We gave them on-site public health experiences. It gave us a stronger mentoring organization registry because we gave them something to do and real connections with teachers. We also evaluated the program, and we were able to do this with our ASTHO grant. Some of the tips for working with schools, we don't, as public health professionals, we don't always speak the same language as teachers do. We need to provide them with the CEUs. We need to know their calendar. Don't ever try and go in when they're going to be doing a standardized test. We need to give them a 43-minute activity because that's how long their periods are. We need to give them something that holds a high school student's attention span. Unfortunately, it's only 7 minutes long. And we need to show them how public health teaches 21st century skills. These are the new skills that teachers are being required to teach. In 14 states, they already require students to show that they have 21st century skills. And here they are. Does anybody know what 21st century skills are? Yes? No? I'll do this fast. Public health is perfect for teaching 21st century skills. You're familiar with our core competencies, communication and analytic and systems thinking, assessment, leadership, global awareness, and technology. That's what we do. These are our skills. Well, look at what skills for the 21st century are. It's what we've been doing for years. So we can say to teachers, we can go into the classroom and we can say to them, look, we've got what you want, and we can show you how to teach it. It's also interesting to know that when employers are interviewed and you say to them, what do you want in a new hire? Look what's top on their list. They want new hires to make appropriate choices concerning health and wellness, nutrition, exercise, stress reduction, because those are the people that are going to cost them the least. So again, we've got our foot in the door to teach teachers why we, public health professionals, have something to give them in the classroom. So why do students need 21st century skills? A kid coming into school today is going to have 10 to 14 jobs by the time they're 38, and a lot of it is driven by technology. Jobs today are not going to be there tomorrow. Technology, fine, teach the kids technology. Unfortunately, it brings with a lot of social and ethical challenges, such as finding the answers on the iPhone during a test. I think one of the nice things about public health is when you teach students 21st century skills through public health, unlike teaching them 21st century skills through business, you teach them about, social awareness, social consciousness. And so that again is another real strength for introducing public health while kids are still in high school. This is a little quote. Somebody who disses 21st century skills actually said, haven't you heard using technology to get answers isn't cheating? It's a 21st freaking century skill. Unfortunately for some kids it is, That's where we come in. We'll teach them differently.
So basically what we did with the workshop, I'm just going to show you here, we looked at with the teachers, we explained public health, we applied public health concepts to the Connecticut Educational Standards, and we identified public health professionals to build workplace learning experiences for the student and the teachers. I can honestly say when we got done explaining public health to the teachers, they had no idea how broad the scope or how much more they could apply within their classroom. So that was a really good exposure for them. And then the classroom program, what is public health? That's the presentation we gave them. We used one of our Moore members to do the outbreak investigations. She's from the Yale Emerging Infections Program, and she came in and talked to them about that. The youth risk behavior, we did survey data from the Connecticut Department of Public Health, and we used that as a backup for that talk. And then, of course, what's in your flash drive?
Yeah. We told them, we had them create and share a lesson, which is really important. You have to get teachers engaged. They're not going to sit there for 2 hours listening to a lecture. I'm going to skip over this because of time. I want to show you this. One of the things, teachers have to teach to their curriculum. So what we did is we showed them how public health, 21st century skills, and their required core competencies all line up. And then at the end, see where there's a link? Everything that's in our flash drive connects to the internet. And that's a web activity that they can just click on that they know will answer their required teaching. This is actually, there's a link on your bookmark, and you can find all of these activities on that bookmark, on that website.
Go ahead. And one of the interesting things, Cindy basically got those activities off the internet, and one of the important things is that almost everything we had put together, even in the toolkit and everything we were showing the teachers, is available. It's out there, accessible on the web. It just takes someone to pull it in and find it and put it together. The workplace visits, basically we chose from the Moore members, but we actually ended up going outside of the Moore members to a couple nonprofits. We hit a state Department of Public Health, a local, and two of the nonprofits.
I just wanted to say that the Institute of Community Research does a photo project like you do, and we took students out to, you know, to show them this. Go ahead.
Yep, that's a great link. Yeah. And then just in terms of preparing the work sites, the first thing that was done was a survey for the guidance, and we got the teacher input. What do they want to learn? What do they teach? And then we actually provided that to the ambassadors. They didn't want to be trained on this or anything. They just wanted either some materials that they could be briefed on or a phone call to prep them for the site visit.
The worksite evaluations were very high. Most of them were, they were all between fours and fives and a five. That's all I'm going to say. The teachers, we asked the teachers what they want. So next time around, because we've done this training a few times now, environmental health is top on their list. Youth risk behavior is. Genomics, it was very interesting. They went to the genomics department at DPH, and very high percentage of them said that we wanted more training in genomics. So one of our lessons learned is when you teach teachers, you hit 100 kids at least every semester, and then next year you'll come back and hit another 100 kids. Much more effective way than trying to go out and just do a one-shot deal of, you know, classroom talks. The 21st century skills is our foot in the door. You have 45 minutes to make public health fun, and they're not going to listen to you if you don't do that, so you have to give them a really exciting... Got 1 minute left. Presentation, and we have the tools to do that. We make the activities interactive and replicable. We have the flash drives, which are really important because people forget you once you're out the door. If you give them the flash drive and you make sure that you tell the principal about it and you load it up on their computer, they will use it. We've had the feedback that these lessons are being used now. This last thing, we've now done this in the Hartford schools, and this is a team building activity that we do, which is a 21st century skill. And what we did is I do this little personality test with them. Are you a squiggle, a triangle, a square? We divide them up so that we have at least one squiggle, triangle, square, and circle in each team. And then they develop public health messages on posters. This one was don't just eat salsa, do salsa. It's good for exercising. And they are doing this now with their students. Fill yourself, 8 glasses a day, you know, things like this. And the result, we hope, will be a healthier nation in one generation. Stop, I made it.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make one final comment on the lesson learned. I was supposed to get this comment in on the other slide, but didn't do so, was that from the state public health perspective, we, because of the MOOR and the collaboration we have with the Connecticut Public Health Association, we have, within our workforce development responsibilities, we now have a trained cadre of people that can go into the classrooms and talk about public health and public health careers. So that's a lesson learned. That's how to do something beneficial for the pipeline and for workforce development on almost no funds and a lot of volunteer time and with a lot of people helping out and a lot of collaborations. So I'll just end with that. Thank you. Thank you.